Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. This special Pebble Beach Live podcast is brought to you by Collecting Cars, the global auction marketplace for rare, classic, and high-performance cars and bikes. We love the curation on Collecting Cars, and the 5% buyer fee is capped at $5,000, so it's an amazing deal for selling high-value vehicles. Make sure you visit the marketplace and see what's on offer this week. And if you haven't heard our episode with Chris Harris and Collecting Cars founder Edward Lovett, look back into our catalog and find it. It's a great episode of Spike's Car Radio. All right, let's go.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Well, here we are live at the Pebble Beach Concours, Pebble Beach Forum. Can you believe that they invited the four of us here?
Me least of all.
Yeah.
The low-born, dirt-digging crew from Spike's Car Radio is here at the forum. We've got a great audience. Come on, make some noise. Your brothers and sisters who traveled across the world to come witness this great broadcast is here. What, Matt? You're about to say something. Is everything all right?
Some of us had to park across the world and take the shuttle, too.
Yeah.
Everybody else gets shut out. Oh, yeah, I rode the shuttle with these guys.
They did. They braved a parking nightmare, I think it's fair to say.
They've only been doing this 100 years. They haven't figured out how
they haven't figured it out.
The right
next year, next year.
Here.
Don't worry. They got it.
But we're in a new place. We were at the Inn at Spanish Bay last time, and now we're at the Lodge. The audience layout is way better here. I really like this layout. I can see everybody. It's not claustrophobic. I don't think I will get COVID this far away from these folks, but you never know.
We hope.
It's been quite a week. Now, Matt, when did you come up?
Thursday.
And you drove up.
Yes, I did.
In
my Ferrari 328. I made excellent time. Not a 308. A 328 has more torque.
That's better. How much torque are we talking?
Like 260.
Yeah.
Like a ton.
That's like minivan levels.
Yeah. But I forced our friend Donnie to have my car ready, implying that I would be showing it at the Quail. And you could see it at the Quail if you went to parking lot S, which is the staff and sponsor lot, which you also had to take a shuttle to.
The Quail, one of the bigger events on a Friday, and as you went in, they had that little yellow tag that you could leave on your dash to get voted best car in the lot.
Did they have the lot d'elegance or something like that?
Yeah. Did you do that?
Well, it didn't count in the lot I was in because it was so far away.
Oh, you forfeited the honor, the prestige.
Yeah. The oil stain lab guys won that. The half 11. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Are they back there? Is that you guys? Oh, okay. Oh, they're cool.
They talked to them. They're
the
excited.
The half 11.
The oil stain gang.
Yep.
Wow, impressive.
Yeah.
Let's start with a Quail, since we're already talking about it. And again, like most people listening to this, haven't had the chance to even come here. What, Johnny, tell us, what is the Quail? What is the Quail?
We got to keep it PG, yeah?
What? Why?
Okay.
Why would you even ask that?
I mean, the Quail is basically, I'm stealing this line, but it's this year I feel it's turned into the Geneva Motor Show because they canceled Geneva. So every supercar, hypercar, luxury brand, people who want to become luxury brands, they're all there. So you had Kia was literally across the golf course from Pagani, across the fairway. And everyone was there, and there was all kinds of reveals. And, you know, you had the new Urus Performante. You had the new CC8
CC 850.
Okay, great name from Koenigsegg.
Christian, yeah.
Yeah, he's turning 50. You had the new Bugatti with no roof. You had the roof one-off. Everything was there. It was great. Lincoln concept, like just everything. It's a car show.
Well, it's where I think Zuckerman, you and I saw these Porsches that we were interested in, the very first GT3 RS sighting for us, and the Sport Classic. What did you think of those cars?
I found them to be very exciting. I mean, the RS really goes 10 steps beyond what I thought it was going to be.
In what way?
Well, it's not just merely a slightly more than a GT3 in terms of appearance, in terms of the performance things that they've applied to this car, the amount of air intakes, the amount of air flicks. What they've done is really create, and what I'm looking at is kind of radical for a street car.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Because you and I share that Porsche Touring, which is already feels like the last iteration of the GT3 RS. It's hard for me to comprehend driving this new one on the street.
I feel it's going to be a modern version of a Carrera GT in the sense that people will buy them, will love having them, and they'll all have no more than 900 miles on them.
Right. And did you guys get a look at the steering wheel with all the little controls?
Yeah, yeah.
That part I really like.
Well, they're like, oh, you can set up your entry or your exit. I'm like, on the same corner? Like, no, just one. I'm like, who's doing this?
Is there a reset button?
That's what I asked. I don't. Nothing was clear.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
What? So you guys aren't sold on this car?
No. Colin Chapman said, "If you make something adjustable, people will adjust it wrong."
Right.
And I think that's what's going to happen. They've gone from having a steering wheel devoid of any buttons, right, to now there's like 20 buttons on the steering wheel, and now people are going to obsess. Now they can't, because paint to sample is out, right? You can't talk about your paint to sample anymore. Now it's going to be, what's your diff settings?
Right.
Oh, what's your aero settings? And people are going to be insufferable talking about how they have ruined their GT3 RS by setting it up.
A friend of mine, just to be a jerk, got DRS GT3 as a license plate. He's not going to buy one. He just wants the plate.
That plate to auction.
Yeah.
Someone will buy that.
And it's like, that's actual F1 technology, and, you know, it's too much. That said, I can't wait to drive it. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait, but I'm not capable of setting it up.
Yeah.
I'm not capable of playing with the radio these days. How am I going to do this?
Well, we're at an interesting point, Zuckerman. Like, we've been doing this for quite some time, and I don't know if they've gone too far or we're just getting too old for this stuff. Because I was really drawn to the Sport Classic. I looked at that car and I thought, now there's a car that you and I would love to drive. Am I wrong about that?
Zach, my co-host on the Smoking Tire, went to Germany to drive Sport Classic. And he said it's like the ultimate street touring car. It's got the power, it's the stick shift, but it rides, you know, more like a Carrera than a GT car. It's usable every day. The RS, I saw Andy Preuninger last night at the Porsche party, and I said to him straight up, how good of a driver do you need to be to actually take advantage of DRS and all this adjustable aero? And he very, you know,
politically
correct. Said it doesn't matter what level of driver you are, this car will make you better, which I don't believe at all.
And if you haven't read up on it, it's got wings on the dampers. The suspension has wings. Like, there's downforce on the dampers.
Yeah, when you crash it, there will be a lot more to replace.
Yes. CJ Wilson, who's raced, said that he anticipated 75% of users crashing while trying to fiddle with the buttons while driving.
Well, he's not here to defend that. Did he say
and I may
that
be
to you confidentially?
I don't care.
No one listens to this.
But how are you going to use it? I would bet you 2 years from now we may be here and there'll be a bunch of them up for sale with 300 miles on them. That's what I think. You get it to the track a couple times and you're not going to be driving it much on the street, which for me is you disqualify it.
But like the GT2 RS, for instance, like the performance capabilities of that, the 991.2.
It's an easy car to drive.
Yeah, but the capabilities, we haven't driven this one, so we don't know how it is to drive, but like, nobody, very few, take advantage of what that thing can do.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's you know, I did.
But it's very streetable. That's a very streetable car. And we have driven this car because we've driven the new GT3. So this can't be more docile and more streetable car.
I'm not saying docile or streetable. It might have a mode because it's so adjustable where you can like drive to the track and it's okay. But like no owner, very few owners take advantage of what the GT2 RS can do.
I mean, right. Yes, of course.
Crazy. Not easy. You know what I mean?
All right, let's move on. This morning, we drove a car that you drove recently and fell in love with. The new Roof SCR, named for this podcast.
Named for Spike's Car Radio.
Roof SCR, which was a great honor for us. And Zuckerman and I are very confused about it. We want you to tell us about it. We really are. I mean, it's a splendid, beautiful creation that reportedly has no Porsche parts in it, even though we saw Porsche parts in it.
But yeah, they're back and forth on... Sometimes you talk to them, it's no Porsche parts, and then sometimes it's very few, but there's no... So yeah, okay.
Run through the stats on this car.
All right, it's a carbon fiber tub that Roof builds, so it's not like a Singer or a Gunther Works where they take an old Porsche and fix it up. They lay out the tub. It's got steel subframes. They make the suspension. The engine is a Metzger design, but Roof manufactures the engine. Transmission ZF. They have, I forget the name of the company, but somebody designs the inboard pushrod dampers for them. And it's all carbon.
Two-seater, no back seat.
Two-seater. And then
what does it cost?
$934,000 to start today. But I heard the way you buy a Roof is you just kind of mail them $30,000 a month for a while, and eventually they tell you to stop and the car shows up. So prices.
It's an amazing driving car, but it is unlike anything I've ever driven.
Yeah.
And it's so far from a Porsche.
Yeah, it's not a Porsche.
So what? Help us understand what I just described to you. Like, put that in context. Because it's something that looks like a 911, but doesn't drive like any other car we've ever driven or sound like it.
So
it looks like one until one pulls up. If you see them side by side, they actually look totally different.
Exactly.
It's what your mind thinks a 911 looks like, but if you actually put one next to it, the dimensions of the car are completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the length of an original 64 901. He kept stressing that. This is a 901. This is what Bootsy Porsche designed. And then he extended the wheelbase. It's about the same as a 997. And then he had Freeman Thomas redo the body, and there's lots of visual tricks that make it look like it's not, you know, a long wheelbase. It looks normal.
It's like a foot wider as well.
It's a little, yeah, it's 80 millimeters. 80 millimeters, I don't know what that is, but 80 millimeters wider. And so when you're in it, you know, it's wrapped around you like an old 911, but it's got the performance envelope of a modern GT3. It's 500 and some horse. It's better, actually. It's 500.
But it doesn't feel like a GT3. It's fast and wonderful. But
yeah, it's very different.
What would you say, Zuckerman, that felt like? I couldn't think of a single car it reminded me of.
It was disconcerting because looks versus the performance. I mean, your brain does play tricks on you. Your brain sets up unconscious biases. I'm going to get in this car. It's going to be like a GT3. And it is completely different. Now, the steering is light. The steering is great. I love the steering. I love the acceleration. It shifted wonderfully, but the ZF is so weird in this package, right? I got out of the car saying it was fantastic, and I don't know what I drove. So the same as you.
Well, I
you loved it.
I loved it.
I loved it too.
We went for a ride. I mean, we were flying.
Oh,
and like the you know, I was like, you know, 8,000 RPM. By the way, it goes up to 8,750 the motor. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was at like 8,000 RPM in third, pulled fourth, and I was like I took my breath away, and I turned to him because I've been wanting to drive one of these since 1987. I'm like. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting 35 years for this moment. And he says, we call that a screaming orgasm. Don't repeat that, please. And, you know, but it was fantastic. It was just maybe the best moment I've ever had in a car. I just love that thing.
Just make sure you put it in the recording of Spike's Car.
Yeah.
At the Concours.
Know, it's okay.
Don't repeat it.
Yeah.
Well, you know. So you had never driven a Roof at all?
Never.
It's easily the best one I've ever driven.
Oh,
easily.
It's
just hands down. Just, if everything is from this point on like that, forget
and it. He said, I feel, this is Alwa Roof, he said, I feel this is what Bootsy would be doing today if he were alive. This is what the car would
it's
be.
It's a great line.
It's a great line.
Because Bootsy's not around to argue
with.
Yeah,
to argue.
That's a great line.
I believe that this is what my great-grandfather would be doing if he was here today, and I'm certain of it. I just ask him.
Yeah.
You know, lots of new models were unveiled here. What did you say, upwards of like 50? Before I got up here, I don't even know if it was here, but it's worth talking about, is this new Dodge Charger EV. Was that unveiled here?
No.
Or it was just put out?
Unveiled on Instagram.
What did you guys make of that thing? I mean, go ahead, Matt. So what?
It's got fake.
I know what it's got.
It's got fake sound. But worse than that, because every car has fake sound now, it has fake shifts. It doesn't have a transmission.
Really?
It has a thing that interrupts the power flow, so it feels like it's shifting.
So the thing that EVs are really good at, silent, smooth, seamless performance.
Right. The future.
Dodge is going, let's make those things worse.
Yes.
And here's how we're going to do it.
Yes.
Remember, I'm sure you guys have seen it up at in Malibu. There's a guy with a Tesla Model 3 that plays V8 sounds.
Yes.
Coming out of it. Exterior. It is the dumbest thing imaginable.
Yes.
He cruises around the parking lot and it sounds like some loud V8.
It was the dumbest thing imaginable.
It's really, really dumb.
Yeah.
And so this is the kind of thing that sounds like a good idea until you actually, experience it. Like start-stop technology. Sounds great until you drive a car with it and you go, well, this is dumb, off. And so same idea, right? Right? It's stupid.
Wow, I didn't know
theory,
that many
it works,
people hated
no.
it. Look at that.
Hate.
And so the idea of a loud EV playing fake noises, having fake shifts is just...
the fake shifts was... I was just like, wait, what does this do?
America. We're good at stuff.
But somebody had a good line the other night. They said that Dodge owners are poor Lamborghini owners. So it sort of makes sense, but...
That's
like
hilarious.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a concept. It may not make it to production.
We could sell some aftermarket exhaust if it comes out the back.
The funniest tweet I saw about the new electric Dodge Charger was simple. Imagine trying to find information about this car and Googling EV Charger.
Right.
That is a SEO death.
Right.
Right.
You're going to have to, it's just.
They might change the name. I mean, it might be the Banshee when it actually comes out because of that. So, because right now there's a Banshee badge. They replaced Hellcat with Banshee. We're interviewing Ralph on the 23rd. So I'm just going
to
be like.
It isn't really the way to bring the rest of America into the EV world, right? The GMC Hummer, the Ford Lightning, those are really revolutionary trucks that do great things and feel futuristic. But we don't need that other stuff. It's really weird. So you don't think this thing's going to sell?
Oh, no, it'll sell. We're a very dumb people.
Yeah, I think the more I dislike it equals sales numbers.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're dumb.
I mean, our friend Mike Musto, he's like, this is the kind of EV you build when you listen to your customers. And I'm like, you don't think it's pandering? He's like, absolutely not. This is everything. And I'm like, and it's pandering. You know?
Wow.
But you want to talk about a cool gearbox? Because Koenigsegg that Johnny kind of made fun of the name of for a second, the CC850, which I saw at the Quail yesterday. It's called that because Christian von Koenigsegg is his 50th birthday this year. And so
what's the 8 for?
Because it's a throwback to the original CC8.
I'm kidding.
It's a dumb name.
It's not a good name. Yeah.
So they have it's got a 9-speed automatic gearbox, right?
Okay.
Which you can put in full automatic mode. It also has a 6-speed gated shifter and a clutch pedal.
That's weird.
You can put it in manual. And when you put it in manual, it's a manual. It behaves. You can stall it. You can dump the clutch and do a burnout. You can clutch kick it and slide it. And then if you put it in street or track mode, in street mode, it selects 6 of the 9 ratios that are optimized for street. And in track mode, it selects different ratios for the track. So it's a variable gear ratio synthetic manual transmission that can also be driven as a full auto. Wild. It's the most complicated transmission I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, the car is like $4 million. But
it's actually a pretty simple transmission. It's just no one else thought of it.
Right, right. Yeah it's like they've thrust-mastered the transmission. It's all synthetic, but it's got hydraulic force feedback on the clutch pedal and an actual linkage, so it supposedly feels like driving an actual stick.
Right. Mm. Well, none of us in this room can afford that. So.
No.
Are you sure? I bet some. I bet somebody.
You, sir.
Who's wearing a t-shirt with like a hospital?
Maybe that guy you met, Johnny.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy you met.
The watch guy?
Yeah. And this is what's fun about coming up here for Monterey Car Week. Just some of the people you run into that you didn't know existed in the world. Tell them about this fella that was a lottery winner. What's his name?
Oh, no. That's Matt's friend.
Oh, my friend. Yeah, my guy I know.
Manny.
Won the Powerball.
I thought you meant the...
Don't blow up his spot.
Oh, yeah.
Won $800 million in Powerball. I saw this guy at the Quail.
$800 million.
Yeah.
So, Zuckerman, what does he take from that right home?
$400.
$400 million.
$400. Enough, yeah. Enough to do damage.
And he's buying cars.
He said he's up to 75 the last 3 years.
Smart
dude's
kid.
25.
He's 25.
Yeah, he was stocking shelves at Target.
Come on.
Yeah. He's my 25.
Hero. Let's give Manny a round of applause.
Dude,
that's
living.
A good story. Really?
Yeah, he's living.
Oh, that's so great. What a great guy to win.
Yeah.
But he's lost his mind with cars.
Yep.
So what is he buying?
Everything.
Just everything he can.
At Koenigsegs and Paganis, really? And LaFerraris and you name it. I mean,
and where
you
is
name
he putting
it.
Him?
I don't know.
Where does he
All
live?
Over. States with no taxes, I think. I have no idea.
That's was he happy?
I think he,
did he have a
happier than when he had a red Target vest on.
Did he have a girl? Was the girl new? Did he upgrade?
The girl was very girls. Happy.
Yeah. Happier than Manny?
The girl done came up.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should bring him on. I'd like to meet him. I'm fascinated with the world of lottery winners.
He's probably drinking wine at Gooding right now, buying some crazy thing.
Wow. I hope he keeps it.
He seems like a smart guy. I think he'll be all right. You meant to talk about the guy that Johnny met.
The guy I wanted to talk to. Oh. Who did you meet?
You met him.
Oh, that guy.
They just gave me this from. We can't talk about that guy.
No, let's.
We can't talk about that guy. We'll be killed if we talk about that guy.
That guy had money for too long, and it turned him into a horrible human.
He's 24.
He was collapsing under his own wealth.
He's 24.
He was 24?
Maybe 20. Yeah. Maybe 22.
What did he lead with? Paddock just gave me a watch for my birthday. Gave me a watch.
And I took the spike, and I go. Well, first of all, it was a very expensive watch. We looked it up later. And they just gave it to him. And then I look at Spike. I'm like, I guess Patek, you know, they forgot my birthday.
You didn't sign up for their mailing list to get the free one on your birthday?
He told me later that was the second one they'd given him.
What? Wow. Yeah.
You meet really cool people up here.
24, I'd say.
Yeah. It is part of the reason we do come up. It's, you know, every year, and I've been coming up for a while, I have so much fun, but then I leave going, I didn't really do everything I wanted to do, and I'm not quite sure how to reapproach it. Like, what's your advice if you're coming up here? Like, where we've landed, Zuckerman, with Jerry is we try to drive as much as we can. We try to hit the fire pits in the back of the Spanish Bay every night. Smoke cigars. We hit a couple shows. We do this and hang out with you folks, right? That's about as good as it gets, but
you can't do more.
Yeah.
There is so much more on tap here, but you can never fulfill doing everything.
You went the extra step yesterday. Do you want to tell everybody what you bought? This is classic Zuckerman. We go to the Gooding tent.
You say, I'm not buying anything this year. It's not going to happen.
The Gooding auction goes off. I'm like, he goes, are you watching it? No. I go, I'm watching it on my phone right now. I'm in bed and I'm watching the auction. He calls me a half an hour later. He goes, I just bought a car from the lobby. Tell everybody what
you buy.
Well, the greatest thing in the world, once you've been badged a sucker, it's really easy to, they make it so easy for you to continue with that. I didn't have to go there. I didn't have to register. I didn't have to put down a credit card. I just called David Brynan and say, can we do this over the phone? I'm going to sit in Spanish.
What'd you buy?
Okay, I bought a 61 E-Type Jag.
Look
year.
Look at that. Don't you love the congratulations for a purchase?
Thank you. Yes,
I'd like to get this at the supermarket.
I like.
Oh, my milk. Well.
I always find
applause,
so
Swiggins
funny.
And Peabody.
When someone tells
congratulations for that milk.
Yes. Well bought.
Well that's bought. The,
well bought. Bought.
Shop.
Well bought.
What does that mean? I know.
Won't see that expiration date coming.
That means you're enabling their addiction.
It means, well bought means we got some commission off of that one. Thank you.
So, and other people say well bought. So
Why is it special? Tell us why it's special.
It's a very early car. It's 45th left-hand drive E-Type that was ever built, which means that in the real, if you get into the nitty-gritty, the weeds of E-Types, it's got flat floors, it's got outside bonnet latches, and it's got welded louvers on the bonnet. Wow. And so it's extremely early car. It was sold new in California at Caval's dealership, and it stayed in California its whole life. And so it has its original warranty book, its original original luggage, original hardtop. And it was restored I think 2011 for the 50th anniversary, which were we at that one?
Yep.
We may have been at that one. And it was done by a couple of real well-known restorers. Patrick Hoyt, Perfect Reflections, did the body and paint. So it's a stunning car.
And it's on Instagram right now. You can have a look. And already your followers are asking the question I'm asking,
there's a split. White walls or no white walls?
White walls. I'm saying no white walls.
I'm asking, have you sat in it yet?
No white walls.
No white walls. Have you sat in it yet?
White walls or no white walls?
That's a...
Barely. Okay, white walls down. But they can go.
I like the white walls, for the record. What type
of inspecting of this vehicle did you do scroll up on your phone?
We don't do that. Why?
You trust in the auction house.
Why, yes, exactly.
Zuckerman has a superpower. He's a lawyer. If there's an issue, he can get on the phone and have a conversation.
You listen to me, Gooding.
We
Mr.
have
Gooding,
said.
David.
This is
Zuckerman.
Yeah, and people shiver. I've seen it happen. He's quite good.
The classic conversation is: we're not going to talk about the car. We're going to talk about how we're going to remain friends, and we're going to have this conversation. And you're going to take the car back, and I take my money back, and we're still friends.
Yes,
and
that's a great speech. I've heard you deliver it.
It does work, but this car is good.
That's good.
Are you going to drive it?
Oh. I drive everything. You know that. I'm like you. There's nothing that's precious.
Good man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone who drove an old car to Pebble Beach for this week? Anyone but me? Six, seven, eight people? You're all winners. All of you are winners.
I was going to try to get Jerry on and see if he's going to pick up on FaceTime busy. Here.
What did you drive here? Let's see. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Who else drove an old car? What did you drive here? That's a good one. Okay, who's older than 58? What about you, sir? Okay, that's a good one.
All right, hold on, Matt. Let's make a deal.
I just want to see what I might.
And so, all right,
ma'am, what did you drive? Yeah. I was doing filler. You're the one on fucking FaceTime.
Let's do some Dear Zuckerman, and Jerry will call up. Do you guys know what Dear Zuckerman is?
Yeah.
Dear Zuckerman is real letters written to Dear Abby. That Zuckerman is going to answer for. And Zuckerman has not heard any of these letters. They are all car-themed, Mr. Zuckerman. And as always, the rest of us can chime in. But I think we'll all learn something from this. Dear Zuckerman, I drive a classic car to work every day at a construction site. Since I began working there this summer, people often ask me about selling it. Most of the time, I take it as a compliment and tell them it's not for sale. But the same people often continue to ask. It is really starting to get on my nerves. I have even seen people trying to open the hood and see the engine. I understand people are asking about owning an old vehicle, but I don't have another car or mode of transportation, and I'm starting to get worried. Zuckerman, do you have any advice?
What's he worried about? I don't understand. He's starting to get worried. People are interested in the car. And tell him it's not for sale. Put a sign, you know, don't touch. You can have a don't touch sign. It's a not for sale sign. But I think I get a feeling this guy's a little bit weird. He doesn't know how to handle the attention.
You think he's weird because he's got a classic car and he's writing Dear Abby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all.
He's lost
generally,
his mind.
The point of getting a classic car is you like driving it and you like the attention.
And you like to share it. You like to talk about it. Yeah. Right.
Just put a sign that's for sale with the price that's like three times more than what it's worth.
And someone will buy it.
It's
and
the then, highest.
Oh, that's a terrible
isn't
thing
it
to have.
The highest compliment you can get in classic car ownership. People, I understand getting annoyed when they want to buy it. That's not really something you should do. But saying, I like this. If you ever thought about selling it, I'd be the guy.
But, like, how often is this happening?
I'm worried. Just make some friends with people. Say, take me out for a beer and we'll talk about it. I mean, this can be turned into something good. I don't understand what he's worried about.
All right, next letter. Dear Zuckerman, recently a friend came over and took me to lunch. And you can give her the full Zuckerman if you want on this one. She has a small 50-year-old vintage car that was very popular in the 60s. She had come from Marin County over the Golden Gate Bridge to my house, and as she drove us to the restaurant, her car stalled twice. It was very underpowered and, in my opinion, rickety. After she dropped me home, I sent her an email thoroughly expressing my concern that she is driving an unsafe car. I was worried for her safety. She took offense, so I apologized. This woman has plenty of money to buy a safe used car like anyone else, but she says, I like driving vintage. I don't want to get into her car again. Am I wrong to tell her I feel her car is unsafe, Zuckerman?
What are your qualifications, lady? I mean, you know, really, again... Think about picking fly shit out of pepper. Okay. This is just so, this is the conquest of the useless. You, lady, you wrote a whole letter to get validated that you didn't like driving in the car. Just tell her you'll meet her at the restaurant. What's so hard about that?
So you don't think writing a letter to dear Abby about her is the right strategy? Well, and outing her here.
Yeah, well, but also, like, the home monitor mentality. I don't think your car is safe. I'm concerned about you. Like,
that would be like saying, Lieberman, I look at you. I'm very concerned about you. You know, it's Barristan. I worry when yes, I see you. Yes. I'm going to write you a letter.
Your car stalled twice. Yes. And you pick me up in something
and
else.
You have enough money. Barristan, you got enough money. Why don't you
get an
Uber.
You
can afford it.
Get an Uber, lady, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Should we do a couple more?
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how many car-themed Dear Abby letters there were out in the world.
How long did it take you to compile that?
About 5 minutes and a cigar.
Nice.
That's all. Dear Zuckerman, my daughter and her husband have 2 children, an 8-month-old and a 3-year-old. Whenever they get home, if a child is sleeping in the car seat, one of them will stay in the vehicle until the child wakes up. Oh, there's Jerry Seinfeld. Let's see what he's up to. Should we say hello to Jerry? When I answer, everybody say, hi, Jerry, okay? Hold on. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody.
We're in the middle of the panel, Jerry, and...
Oh, there he is. You can see his face. Look at that.
Hey.
Say hi, everybody.
We thought sorry you couldn't be here. I know you're working on that big Unfrosted movie that's coming out for Netflix. I know that I should be working on that too. Thanks for letting me come. Do you feel you missed anything up here? What were you most excited about seeing on Instagram?
I think the best stuff on Instagram is the cars driving around. Is better, you know, cars moving to me beat cars sitting. I don't like cars sitting. I think they're not doing the thing they do best, which is move.
That's right.
Did you see the Sport Classic?
I did see it. It looks great. Very exciting.
You were very excited about it. You don't seem excited about it now. There's no excitement.
I'm totally excited about it. You know, I've got the brown interior car that inspired the Sport Classic interior.
That's right. Yeah.
If you don't know, Jerry has a 356 formerly owned by Tony Hatter that was driven by the design studio. And when they saw it, they took the interior from that 356 and put it in the new Sport Classic. How about that?
Well bought.
Well, anyway, thank you for saying hi. We appreciate it, and maybe we'll see you up here next year. And I'll see you this afternoon when I get back.
Okay, I look forward to it. Sorry, everybody. I'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, Jerry.
Bye.
Thanks, Jerry. All right. Shall we do questions?
You were in the middle of.
You were halfway through.
Oh yeah, we got more.
Oh,
you want Zuckerman?
Dear Zuckerman, I don't want to run out of time.
Yeah,
the kids sleeping in the car.
Come on, Spike.
Sleeping in the car.
Which one were we doing?
The kids dying of carbon monoxide poisoning in the car.
We have a wife. We have a husband. We have 2 children. And whenever they get home, the child is sleeping in the car. They don't want to bring the child inside the house because the child will wake up. They live in L.A. The weather is nice, and they spend the time listening to music with earphones. Zuckerman, They may end up staying in the car for 2 to 3 hours waiting in the driveway. I say this is wrong, but I don't seem to be able to convince my daughter or husband. What do you think? Signed, Grandma in Texas.
As DMX once said in a song, mind your business, lady. I mean, there is such a boundary problem here, okay? If they want to waste 2 or 3 hours in the car with the kid, that's their business.
That's right.
What is wrong, though? I mean, this. What is right or wrong? What does she care? What are they supposed to be doing in these 2 or 3 hours?
I don't know. I don't know why people take the time that this anger and this frustration carries through the letter writing process,
all
the mailing.
All of this has to do with boundaries. People that write these letters don't have appropriate boundaries.
How do you feel about your boundaries?
Okay, don't invade mine. I can invade yours. That's how that works.
All right, let's make the audience part of the show. And I think we have mics floating around. And we've got a little time to do some questions. You can ask anything you want. You can ask about Porsches. You can ask about life. Just make it interesting. How about that?
Spike,
go
right
ahead.
Here.
Yeah, here. Anybody, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for coming out. This has been really exciting. So, Spike, you and Jerry have been working on Unfrosted.
Yes.
And I heard in one of the last podcasts that there's going to be some interesting cars in the movie. Can you elaborate on what those might be?
I can't. But let's say you knew something about what Jerry and I liked. You might be able to infer the types of things you would be see floating around Battle Creek, Michigan in 1963.
Sounds like a lot of
cars that probably weren't there, but you will see there because we wanted to have some fun with you guys. And we knew when you watched it, you know, you'll know. We wanted you to know that we made it and we were thinking about you guys while we were doing it. Because I think a lot of, you know, I watch shows like My Brilliant Friend on HBO, which takes place in Italy, maybe in the 1940s and 50s. And my wife loves the show, and I, of course, have to go watch it with her. But they put beautiful cars in these shows for me, right? The beginning of this season had the two main characters walking away, walking right to camera, and behind it, a Bizzarini just goes by in perfect red livery. And I just went, oh! And that held me in the show for like another half an hour before I excused myself.
But I like the
money
idea of
well
purposely
spent on a Bizzarini rental for the day, right?
That show goes above and beyond with old Alphas and Fiats, and it really they really know what they're doing. I would say they probably did it better than we did, but you know it's hard. The type of people who loan their cars out to productions, you know what I'm saying? You won't see Miles Collier going, hey, can I put this Rev Institute 9083 in your movie?
I've rented a car to a production. It's a lovely enterprise.
Yeah.
Car earns its own way. My house.
Kind of.
You're living in my house, you're going to pay to rent around here.
Not when you see him around all the heavy equipment. There's a lot of heavy equipment and a lot of people not paying attention.
But I was going to say, I like the idea of like intentionally putting the wrong cars in. That's actually pretty funny.
We did put a year limit on it. I said, after watching Quentin Tarantino's, the Hollywood
Once
movie.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And you remember the Sharon Tate 9/11?
Yep, wrong year.
Yeah, it was a 73. Now, I know you guys will understand that. Yeah. Most people in entertainment won't. They'll go, whatever, right? But it took me out of the movie a little bit, even though I love that movie. Next, what do we have?
This question is for Zuckerman. How long has your 365 GTB been at Canepa, and do you think you're going to get it back?
Okay. I think about 6 years, and no, I don't.
I visited it in March. I saw it.
I think I bought it 6 years ago at Gooding. It was the last time I purchased a car at Gooding. I was having a bad day.
I remember.
I needed to feel better, and so I ended up buying a Daytona.
It was another secret purchase.
Yeah.
Some people just stuff themselves with cakes and cookies. You buy cars in secret, right?
Yeah, so, you know, but it's been there so long that I think the market came back. Because I bought it, and it was worth about 25% of what I paid for it, and I think now it's coming back. So Bruce has done me a favor, and every time I call him, he says he's working on it. But, you know, you've seen it. Yeah, it doesn't seem that much of anything.
You've seen the car. Yeah.
It's pretty. And
I saw it too when I was up there. Yeah. It's nice. The color's great.
Just a little dusty.
On a tour. He given a tour to everybody. And this is Jerry Seinfeld's lawyer's Ferrari.
Yeah.
I know. I go, you mean Zuckerman? I go, he's his lawyer.
Is that what
they coffee.
Said? Is that really what they said?
That's what Bruce said to 50 people on a road and track tour.
Bruce.
Look at that. Look at that.
What's Bruce is the greatest, one of the greatest salesmen of all time.
Yes.
I could listen to him. I could listen to his sales pitch forever.
We invited him on to tell that sales pitch, and he won't cough up the secrets, but he's so good.
His weekly mailing list is hilarious. It's
what's
like,
that?
New special, Wednesday special, Porsche 962, Le Mans history, price reduced, $4.9 million.
Well, he's gotten us all to the point that we believe that the cars on his site are better than any cars out there.
That's right.
And that justifies the price.
It's called branding, my friend.
Yes.
Yeah. A friend of mine said that his magic trick was Bruce has convinced everyone that having their car cleaned for $25,000 is like a must-do.
Wow. Well, now,
when you get a car done by him, there you get this wonderful, these three-ring binders. Three-ring binders. I've got one for the Ferrari. It's not even done yet. But when you get to the last pages, there's a picture of a guy with a glove on, just a hand in a glove with a Q-tip. And it's close to like a door panel with some spray next to it. And that Q-tip picture, I love it.
Yeah.
Every time, it's worth all the money.
His rubber-gloved hand pointing and doing that.
Yeah.
What a sad photo shoot that is. Can you do? Okay, point to the tire. All right.
But he doesn't have to do the YouTuber face, so there's that.
Who's got the next one? Go.
So can I follow up on the Unfrosted?
Oh, my God. This is like a
these are plants.
Movie tour. It's not coming out for a year.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
When is it coming out?
I really don't know. I have to, you know, we finished shooting 2 weeks ago, and we started editing a few days ago. And after we turn it in, I think we'll screen it and cut, screen, cut. And then when it's ready, here's what I do know. You have to give it to Netflix for 2 months. So they can dub it into every language in the world.
Wow! So it's going to be on Netflix,
It's a Netflix thing. Yeah, that I can tell you. That's out there.
That's
and
great.
Amy Schumer's in it, and Jim Gaffigan's in it. I forget.
Hugh Grant
is in it.
Peter Dinklage.
All the people they've announced, I can talk about. And it's fun. We had a great time making it.
It's
and I
hope going to be very
we'll
fun.
See. We'll see. You know, you
Thank
never
you.
Know, but we'll see. But I feel like it's a supersized Seinfeld episode. Like if you took one Seinfeld episode and applied a movie budget to it, this would be that. And Jerry stars in it, and he's great. And it was so much fun. So much fun. Questions?
Matt, can you tell us a little bit about how your 328 drives now versus how it drove 6 months or so ago?
Oh, man. I learned how screwed up it was by getting it fixed. So I got this Ferrari 328, and when I bought it, it was pretty cheap. Steve Cirio found it for me. I want to punch him in the face because it was a total disaster. The major service paperwork that it came with was 100% fraudulent.
Really?
100% fake.
Really?
Nothing was done.
Please post that on Instagram.
Fake,
I want to see
fake major service paperwork. Yeah, fake timing belt, fake everything. It's all fake.
So you mean the service records themselves were fake?
Yes.
He not knowingly. He didn't know.
He did not know this.
He did not know
he
this.
He did not know
Someone
this.
Someone had done.
Someone had made a fake major service bill.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So there. On top of that.
Now, how did you discover they were fake?
Well, the car wasn't running very good.
Right.
And I took it to Donnie, who is an insane weirdo, but is a savant with 80s era Ferraris. And he said, there's a piece of paper here saying that the timing belt was done last year, but the belt on this car is like at least 8 years old. And there's like, and it says that this filter was changed, but look at the age of this filter.
Tell them about the fuel line. That's the best part.
Oh my God. And
this is something I would do.
Literally a hole in the fuel line, and someone had wrapped rubber around it and hose clamped it. It was really a disaster. And on top of that, it was like a bunch of stuff that, you know, all 35-year-old Ferraris, you know, tired suspension and whatever. So it was down for 6 months. I had Donnie go through everything. And And before, you know, you'd hit a bump and it would be a little like jiggly. And I'd be like, yeah, it's maybe the bushing. The people would be like, no, because you bought a GTS. It's not as rigid as the GTB. If you bought the GTB, it would be perfect over those bumps. No, it turns out the bushings were made of paper mache and dust. Mm. That's as it turns out. So new suspension, new, I mean, everything, total mechanical restoration. And now I have learned that Ferraris in the 80s were actually nice cars. When they're supposed to be like they are, or when they are like they're supposed to be, I drove it up here. I was flying 100 miles an hour up the highway, totally stable, really nice, tight, and yeah, turns out a 328 is a great car once it's actually done appropriately. And fortunately, like Zuckerman's Ferrari, the market has done nice things in that car, yeah. So I haven't completely lost all my money. It's actually been a decent investment to have it sorted out.
Yeah, and they're one of the most.
It's in lot 75 over there. If you're on the shuttle,
in the covered in hay straw and dust,
covered in dust. And,
wow!
And I'm driving back to LA in it right after this show.
There's like a joke that every Ferrari you buy vintage, you're going to write a check for $35,000.
Yes, you told me that.
It's been pretty true in my experience with two of my cars that I bought. At least. Right?
Yeah, every Ferrari needs 35 grand.
It's always a $35,000 check. The engine always needs a top-end rebuild and this other stuff. But it shouldn't. That shouldn't happen with your 80s cars.
I mean, the fraudulent major service paperwork, it was a new level.
It's just a little Ferrari.
Did you talk to the seller about that?
They did not return my calls, shockingly.
Are you going to have Zuckerman talk to
Zuckerman
the seller?
Wait, Steve didn't return your call?
No, Steve, I talked to Steve.
I'm sure he was apologetic about
it. He was, and I'm beating him up for something that I'm not really mad at him for. The person selling it, it was a dealer in Georgia, they did not return.
Oh, Georgia.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's a state I avoid for all cars.
Yeah, I would maybe not.
All the time. That's where my 74 911 came from. Before I knew not to buy from Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia and Florida, that's a no-go. It's a no-go.
Why Florida?
Because they'll put a title on anything down there.
Well, Alabama, Texas, flooding.
No, Hampshire, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'd buy a car from Florida. I like Florida.
Don't recommend it.
All right. Well, anybody else? There were some two or three other over here. Jack first. No, go ahead. Yeah, you.
Yeah.
You're up.
There's been some pretty severe new restrictions in Malibu in the last few weeks.
Oh, boy.
You guys want to share your thoughts
news
on the future?
Spreads. Yeah, you're talking about the Malibu Country Mart outside of the Malibu Kitchen where our friend Bill Miller serves us coffee, where we've been going for 20 years. And when the pandemic started, suddenly everybody showed up because all the car shows were canceled. And then everybody on top of everybody showed up, and the city of Malibu has been trying to shut it down ever since. Where are we at now? Their latest salvo was there are five different lots, each owned by different asshole landlords, and each one has their own strategy, from calling sheriffs to write us tickets, not like this Batmobile sheriff that was activated, to the latest one, which impressed me, was valets.
I actually applauded the creativity of the valet.
It was good. It was strong.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was encouraging people to call them out on it and make them valet their Aventadors and stuff. So
they calculated correctly that most of us with old cars and things that we love don't want to hand the cars over to valets.
But funny enough, if your car is old enough, they will let you park it yourself.
Yes. Or as Zuckerman
pointed
out.
So if you show up with something from the 40s, they'll let you park it.
You fold up a little. What do you do, Zuckerman? What
Some
do you
call paper.
Some paper.
Maybe I can park this now.
We've been using around here. It's very effective. It does
you
work.
You want to park at the Quail at the clubhouse.
Yeah, we parked at the Quail clubhouse, right?
Yeah.
Should we be announcing that?
No. Absolutely not. No.
Right into the Rolex party.
It was so fun. I was in behind Zuckerman with Jack, my son, who's over there, and he goes, "What is he doing?" He goes, "He's going to try to talk this guy past security to get in there." And he goes, "It's not going to work." You see the guy looking at us? He's going, "No, no," like that. And Zuckerman just goes, "How about this paper?" Like that. Suddenly, just waves us right in onto the lawn.
Yeah, man, we were escorted.
Right onto the lawn. Yep. It was great. Yeah. I can't believe that works as well as it works, but of course
like
it
money.
Does.
Of course, it's very it works simple. That people like money. They still do.
Give me the money.
Yeah, they still do.
You
still
see, do. The psychology of humans is that if you pay their rent for a month,
and it was great because
they'll let you park yourself.
We right into the Rolex party. I started eating Peking duck, and we weren't supposed to be there.
Which we weren't supposed to eat. We saw Ant and Jensen Button and said hi to them. And then they said, do you guys have your Rolex bands? And we're like, no. And they go, you got to get out of here. And we said, just fine with us. That whole event is wild. How much money do you think those guys make? Like, what's the ticket there this year?
It's a G.
At the Quail?
$1,000.
$1,000, yeah.
And how many tickets did they sell?
7,000.
Wow.
$7 million.
$7 million. And what does it cost for a manufacturer to be there?
Johnny said 250.
I think it's about, yeah, 250.
And there were 22? And there were 22 manufacturers.
22. That's another $5 million.
Wow.
They are printing
sounds right.
money.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
And so
well, you saw their jet copter that they used to go back and forth to the track. Someone's got to pay for the jet copter.
Yeah.
That's how they do it.
But do you think it's effective? Do you think that works? I mean, the only car I wanted to see there was the Myers Manx.
It looked cool.
That's all I wanted to see. Freeman Thomas's design with the guys who are giving birth to this new dune buggy that's electric. It looks great. It was in the right color for a press car.
They won't tell anybody what it's going to cost.
In the sand
trap.
We got
an idea.
We know. We've got it.
Oh, they told you what? What's it cost?
Yeah, yeah. We can't announce it yet, but sure. it was reasonable.
Oh, it was?
It is. But it doesn't have any weird interrupt like the Dodge Charger. Stick a weird.
It doesn't sound like an air cooled Volkswagen.
No, I think he's gonna. I think we both might get them. We're excited
the
about
the price
that
point
thing.
Is fair. And it's not. It's not even close to 100.
Oh really?
Yes,
oh, I'm surprised.
What do you think, Zuckerman? As far as safety though, driving something like that on the streets?
Unsafe. Very unsafe.
Why?
Because there's no anything. You're going
to die out.
Yeah, you will be ejected.
Is it more or less dangerous than a Polaris Razor?
Probably the same. Yeah.
So you're a big advocate.
You know, you're still going to get it. All right, we don't have much time. If anybody has another question, just hand anybody a mic who's got a hand up.
We have one right over here.
Young Jack Ferriston has a question.
Oh, we got a plan.
Yes.
This is for Spike and Zuckerman. How did you guys become friends?
Oh, I guess Jack doesn't know that.
We were neighbors.
We were neighbors in Hollywood, and Zuckerman was a very interesting character to me. He always had a gentleman's suit on with an interesting hat, and he was always driving very interesting cars. He had a 50s Corvette and an early E-Type, a yellow one.
Yep.
And when we would chat, I said, this guy is, he's like comedy in the raw. He's like half an animal, half a comedian. He likes cars, and I don't know many people on my street that do, but he likes the wrong cars, that maybe I can take him under my wing and introduce him to Jerry, and we can convert him into a Porsche freak. And lo and behold, very quickly, did you drive one of my cars, or did you just jump in and buy one?
Okay. The truth is that when I came to California without a penny in my pocket, this was 1982, I was so surprised to see kids with BMWs that maybe my dad could have afforded, maybe. And then when I saw people with 911s, I was just repelled, chip on the shoulder.
Right? Me
like,
too.
You know, those 911 guys, those rich guys. So I never identified myself as a 911 guy.
Right.
I couldn't see myself. And then, you know, I started to hear you talking about how great they were, and I saw you in your 70. Was it Conda Green S?
Yeah, 70.
So I saw you driving down Sunset, and I said, wow. That looks really good.
Yeah. It was really David Letterman that gave me that speech, because I said the same thing to him. He said, you're a Porsche guy. And I was really insulted by that. I go, no, I'm not. My mom's a nurse. My dad's a salesman. I'm a working class Massachusetts kid from public school. Porsche people are assholes. And he goes, no, you've got it wrong. This is a focused driving experience. Don't focus on the money, but focus on power nothing, no power steering, no power brake, sometimes no radio. And he said, when we're out in L.A., we were coming out for the Emmys, I'll let you drive my cars. And I was very skeptical. And when I got in them, I went, wow, I had no idea how perfect this feels and how right he was, that I was a 911 guy.
Yeah, I don't think you'll remember the first 911 I had. It was It was an early 911, maybe. It was a 73 that somebody had put a 3.2 liter engine.
Right.
And it was blue. It was kind of janky. I bought it from a guy for $19,000. And I would come down the street. And then I would go down Sunset. I'd make a right turn on San Vicente as fast as I could. As fast as I could take that right turn, trying to make it break. And I just had the greatest time. And then I was hooked.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick, what did you think when you met him?
Thought he was weird. I just thought he was...
Keep going.
He was very reticent. He liked cars. He had good cars, but he was standoffish. So he wanted to find out more about me, but would reveal very little about himself. So, and I would just...
I didn't know what I was dealing with.
Yeah, so...
who I was letting into my life.
Be my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted a friend.
But that never bothered me, so, you know, I'll always... I'll talk to anyone.
Are. Yeah, yeah. All right, you've got a couple minutes
There's
left.
There's a couple in the back over there that have been had their hands up.
Yeah, go
in
ahead.
The hat. Come forward.
So I'm graduating college next year. Do you recommend getting an EV or an internal combustion, and which car should I get post-grad?
How much money you got?
Yeah. You know, an architect's salary, so, yeah.
But why are you asking? Where are you at yourself?
What do you mean in terms of...
What do you like, want? What do you
are
want?
Are you really conflicted?
I just want to know, you know, from the experts, what the best advice around is.
Maybe you smoke a little weed, you surf a little bit. I mean, am I on the right track?
It's, you yeah, know, I mean, it's I on see, a beach
you're
town.
Like the kind of guy that would like an old van right now, right?
I like that.
Yeah.
If Volkswagen ever makes an electric bus, maybe that's what you need.
You know, that would be good.
Hatches to hold the weed, the papers, the pipe, all that.
Boy, he got right to it. Right to it.
Just make sure you like whatever you get. Don't get a car because you think it's reliable or something stupid.
Something
like
tells me.
Just get something you like to drive that
Johnny,
turns you on.
Something tells me. Hosting this little car matchmaker show of mine, I've met people like this over and over again. He already knows what he wants.
What do you want?
You just tell us what you want.
I mean, I do want an old, like a Porsche 911. They're beautiful. I do. I've thought about the electric VW bus.
Yeah.
They look great. So you got it nailed.
There you go. So you already know. You're well on your way. If you're here, you're already in the club.
And you said architect, so you're gonna have 911 and electric bus money pretty soon.
Oh,
so that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Done. Next,
you can design Zuckerman's tomb.
Yes. Back over here.
Send us the drawings.
The mausoleum.
All right, we got time for one more, and then we're gonna take a picture together.
What do you got?
Uh-oh.
So we know...
Zuckerman, you owe me money. And I'm here to collect.
And I saw you the other day, so I'm coming for you.
Yeah. No, we know what Matt's driving, but what's everybody else driving?
Ah. I have the Zagato. You have the 58 Speedster. How did you get up here?
Cadillac Escalade V that's bigger than this stage.
So you're a guest of Cadillac,
I'm a
right?
guest of Cadillac, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they give you a car and you drive up in it and you talk about it. And do
yeah, although it was, this was funny because they were going to give me a regular Escalade and I said, hey, how about like a V of some sort? And then they were like, well, who are you? And I'm like, you invited me on your trip. And I had to literally, like, they have a whole new PR team. So, like,
yeah.
I had to, like, send them my Instagram stats. What? And they're like, that's really impressive. I'm like, give me the V.
Like, that's why you invited me in the first place.
It was so confused. Yeah, it's so
funny
weird.
Thing about an Escalade V is it's the same exact thing as a regular Escalade, because who's driving around at the top half of the power band and Escalade anyway?
It's so loud. It's that like, there was a dude.
America.
There was a dude in an Aventador that cut me off, and he was like revving a little bit. So I got in front of him, cut him off, and started revving. And I saw him in the rear view, like, it's so loud. It's so loud.
You did that on behalf of Cadillac?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Defending the honor
we'll
of the.
I'll be so happy to hear that.
I just.
Representing the brand.
Just.
Road raging Johnny Lieberman.
The Aventador guy was
That's
like, I'm
it. Look,
buy one of those for my baby.
Zero. We just hit the triple zero. We've got to stop.
I got you stickers. Guys. If anybody wants a Zuckerman head sticker.
Hold on. You guys have been great. For you listeners at home, we will see you next week on Spike's Car Radio. Right now, we have to take the selfie. At the end of every episode, you see us take a selfie. We're going to take one right now with you guys. So just crowd in here, hold your breath for a second, and we'll take a picture. And thank you very much for coming to see us.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56.
Listen to new episodes every Wednesday. And be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.